The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Go higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray Aviana Barrientos. I've got Faye Alahi in studio with me and her lovely daughter Layla, who is named after the song Layla by Derek and the Dominoes back in the day. Oh my gosh. And we have an outstanding show today. I'm so excited, and I'm so excited and unexpectedly excited that Faye Alahi is in studio with us. She is a psychologist and nutritionist with a private practice here in Dallas, Texas since 2001. She's been on the show with me off and on for many, many years. And so I was sitting in a cafe in downtown Dallas reading my book, The Awareness. Was it Friday afternoon? Coming down off of the week, you know, and just trying to relax. I had a bowl of soup and I was reading, and it was vegetarian soup, of course. Anyway, so I'm sitting there trying to unwind, and Faye called. And I always love talking to Faye.
I do too.
And if I'm being truthful, I was a little down. And so it was very good to take your call because you always make me feel wonderful.
Oh, that's sweet.
And so I took your call only to find out that Faye has had this incredible awakening, if you will, which is kind of funny because we have the awareness author, Gene Stone, a former Peace Corps volunteer, a journalist and editor. He is the author of 45 books, including Forks Over Knives. He's going to be on the show today talking about the awareness, his book that he wrote with John Doyle. I'm so excited to have him on the show. The book is absolutely astounding. I recommend it to every human being on the planet that you read it and you have an awareness. Can't wait to talk to him. And then I've got Carol Roberg coming up. She's going to be talking about the restorative gifts of nature. But let's get to Faye, okay? When we brought her in just for the opening so that we could talk about this, and we also were going to do a whole show on this because the story is quite remarkable. So tell us about your 7-year journey with Parkinson's and how the shocking diagnosis impacted your life.
Well, you can say that again, Bernadette. It was quite a shock for somebody who has a three-office practice, a mother of two beautiful children, author, speaker, and athlete. All of a sudden, they take away your right and your ability to jog, to run, to play tennis, to do your practice, to drive. I mean, a lot of people, unfortunately, don't know about Parkinson's. We always know about the tremors that some older people have, and we may think that, oh, okay, we may pretty much spot them in a crowd.
But we know famous people like Muhammad Ali or Michael.
Michael J. Fox.
Yes, Michael J. Fox.
And nowadays, the list is getting longer. Bill Gates. And
I didn't know that.
Yes, unfortunately, the list gets...
I hope he's listening.
I hope so.
Because maybe he's had the same problem you two did, and can find some healing.
Exactly. So it impacted negatively all levels of my life. I couldn't button my shirt. I couldn't drive properly. I was a hazard to the public because you can't brake suddenly. Your foot drops. Your brain tells your body to move in a certain way. Your body doesn't listen. So you can say that it was quite shocking. But you have to spend a maximum of 2 days maybe living in your stew and letting all that stew over and then get on with your life because you can't just sit there and boo-hoo. Nobody's going to slow down and listen to your...
Only 2 days?
Story.
You don't get a few more days?
Exactly.
I think I need a few more days.
I put a stop on it.
Yeah.
2 days.
I think I'd need maybe 3 or 4 days if I couldn't button my shirt. One of the benefits for you of Parkinson's is that you've become this eternal optimist.
Exactly.
So I love that. But let people know what you told me that day, this past Friday on the phone, that, you know, this incredible thing that had happened to you where you were on a pharmaceutical drugs. Parkinson's.
For Parkinson's, which enables you to move, keep up with your duties. However, what they failed to let you know is how to take the drug. and not to take it with protein.
Wow.
I would assume that when you have a diagnosis that is life-changing, it is really the onus of responsibility is on the drug makers who are giving you the drug to survive on for the rest of your life. And they're saying you cannot live without it, to tell you how to take it and with what.
Wow. And so you worked with your doctor back and forth trying to manipulate the dosage and the timing and how much. Then how did you discover?
I discovered up until last year. So this happened 7 years ago. So the first couple of years I went without drugs. I thought I was, you know, soldiering on being a good citizen and a good nutritionist, but I wasn't successful, though the Parkinson was really crippling me. So I decided to take the drug, but that was giving me off times, which means I couldn't function. My legs were almost like somebody screwed them to the ground. They call them freezing.
Wow.
So can you imagine
your
brain telling you, you got to be someplace at 9 and you can't move your leg?
Oh, wow.
It's really debilitating. So, and up until last year, I switched to neurologist, and I realized that if I have the slightest bit of beef, animal meat, it cripples me even more.
Wow.
Because that causes dopamine to be secreted in my brain, right? That's what meat does. It gives you a surge of neurotransmitters, serotonin, which is a happy hormone, dopamine, which is a calming neurotransmitter hormone, epinephrine and norepinephrine that keeps us going. Yet the meat attaches to the same receptors in the brain that dopamine and serotonin attaches to. So it's like going to a movie theater. You got the ticket in your hand, but there's no open seats.
Wow.
As long as the meat has gone down in your stomach before the drug, all the seats in the brain for dopamine are taken.
And so you, as a nutritionist, you started noticing. Or just as a human being, if you're trying to survive.
Absolutely. And I was not getting anywhere with the drugs because the drug was totally ineffective.
So what did you do? You decided, you noticed that there was a difference when you ate animal protein.
Exactly. There was a huge drug-nutrient interaction, so I decided to go vegetarian. For a few days, I skipped all meat because I know the biochemistry of how meat breaks down over 6 to 8 hours. Mm-hmm. Well, I was to take 3 drugs 3 times a day. Mm-hmm. There's never a 6-hour interval. So I decided to just do away with meat, go vegetarian. I'm not as brave as Layla to go vegan. I like my eggs. And sometimes
I do like my eggs too, and I will only eat pasture raised ones.
That's
which,
right.
Which limits me to almost any restaurant because no restaurants out there even serve pasture raised eggs, but I'm working on it.
Exactly. That's good. That's good. So I basically went vegetarian, and you won't believe the difference. I'm here today.
Yeah.
You look great.
I've driven. Thank you.
You look great.
Go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm just so excited to get out.
I'm playing tennis with this beautiful girl. I have picked up, we walk every day for an hour to an hour and a half.
Wow.
A year ago, I wasn't able to do that despite my good drugs and despite my neurological treatment.
Yeah, and if I can be candid to all of our listeners out there with you, and when you, the last time you came in here, the last time I saw you,
you
could barely walk.
Yes.
I didn't say anything. I just gave you a big hug and prayed.
And
your shakes, and it was very bad, you guys.
Yes.
Everyone out there listening, this is not a BS story.
No.
This is you're not being set up to, you know, this is a true life story about nutrition, drug interactions that I wanted you to hear firsthand as soon as possible.
Thank you. If we can save another Parkinsonian from sitting in a...
Parkinsonian? Is that what they call them?
That's what they call them.
I love
Parkinsonian.
It.
We have a name for everything, right? If we could give them an inspiration to go back to their neurologist and notice that I'm not criticizing the drug. The drug was fine, but it was interfering with my nutritional nutrients that I was getting in my diet.
Yeah.
They were canceling each other out almost. It's like having alcohol and drugs. One is a downer, one is an upper.
Yeah.
You just don't do that.
Yeah, you don't do that.
So it's almost that bad. Yeah, it is almost that bad.
And how long did it take for you to realize that the animal protein was interfering?
24 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I had the knowledge of biochemistry. I knew because my son, who's becoming a doctor, he was witnessing it. He said, Mom, you have had this drug for now 2 years, and I've seen you do great. why suddenly he was in town visiting, and mm-hmm. I was treating him to some Texas barbecue.
We're
famous for our brisket, right?
Okay.
So I was going to, you know, different barbecue places and eating an hour, albeit following the pharmaceutical advice, which is only wait an hour before you take the drug. Mm. And the meat is going to go through. That is not correct.
Mm-hmm.
The meat takes 6 to 8 hours to go through.
Yeah, and some people would say even longer.
Yes.
Depending upon the kind of meat and what you accommodate it or
yes.
coop. What's the word I want to use? What you eat with it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Layla, we got to get that mic turned on because I wanna ask you. We've got about a minute here before we go to Gene Stone. But as your mother's daughter. Mm-hmm. What do you think? What have you witnessed? I want to hear it from you.
I have noticed that the tremors, that's like the main thing that has, like, I can visibly notice. I can't tell, obviously, when mm-hmm. she, like, the internal changes.
Right.
But the shaking and the tremors have definitely gone.
And the tennis. She couldn't do that before.
She was. You should have seen her. She was diving on the ground. I was like, Mom, stop.
Oh, my gosh. I love it.
Battle scars on her knees.
Wow. That sounds like me when I play football. I'll kill myself trying to catch the ball. But, wow. So what a lovely story. And, you know, we're going to come back. We're gonna cover this more in depth. But
sure.
I just really wanted to get you in studio.
Thank you.
And I know that Layla would like to meet Gene Stone. Yeah, he's a hero to many, many people. And he's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. I'm going to brag about him when we introduce him. So everyone, stay tuned. We've got a fantastic show coming up with Gene Stone and Carol Roberg and Faye Elahi is in studio with us. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorn Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Everything you see exists together in a delicate balance. You need to understand that balance and respect all the creatures, from the crawling ant to the leaping antelope.
Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. I'm ready to cry about you, but the feelings that voice and the song, the balance, invokes in me, especially with who I have on the air with me right now. I'd like to introduce Gene Stone. He is a Harvard and Stanford graduate. I'm going to brag about him, even if he doesn't want to brag about himself. He is a former Peace Corps volunteer, a journalist, and an editor. He has written, co-written, or ghost-written more than 45 books on a wide variety of subjects. Although for the last decade, he has concentrated on plant-based diets and the relationship to animal protection, health, and the environment. Among these books are Forks Over Knives, The Engine 2 Diet, Living the Farm Sanctuary Life, Eat for the Planet, and How Not to Die. Today, we are talking about his great book, The Awareness. I just finished it this morning. I am in absolute awe of this man. Gene Stone, welcome to One Life Radio.
Hi. Don't really know what to say after that intro.
Well, I'm known for my intros, but believe me, it's sincere and it's straight from the heart. You know, I just can't even believe how you so incredibly, through prose, stepped into the minds and souls and the very beings of the animal world. So your book, The Awareness, it's captivating, it's thought-provoking and eye-opening. What inspired you to write this book? Where did the idea come from with you and John Doyle? Were you guys sitting at a pub and you wrote it on a napkin? I mean, how did the premise for this book even come to fruition?
Well, as you said in your intro, I've been spending the last dozen years or so really thinking about animals and humans' relationship to animals, and the fact that I think the statistic is something like, we kill 56 billion land animals every year.
Oh.
And if you include fish, we actually kill 3 billion animals a year to eat. And that statistic just sticks with me. I love animals. I think most people do, but I don't think most people make the correlation between loving animals and the harm we do to them. And so I really wanted to write something, as you said in your introduction, I write a lot of nonfiction, but I wanted to write a story, something that had more drama and perhaps might interest the reader more. And so that's how the awareness came about.
Well, you know, you had me on my edge of my seat. I cried, like ugly cried a couple of times during it. And I really did. Like, the book is so incredible. I've told all my friends about it. It's on, like, my top five ever list of books that you must read while you're on this planet Earth. It's so incredibly important. I'm going to read, like, these are some of my notes from when I was reading about number 323, the pig that's in the book, okay? Experiencing freedom for the first time. Freedom that we all take for granted as human beings, or most of us do. It says, the sun controlled the day and the sun created the day. 323 never knew that pleasure, the most simple free pleasure on the earth, the healing warmth of the sun. And yet we don't even ask or think about the millions of animals we torture and kill who never witnessed or experienced the warmth of the sun, not even one time. And this is a fact that this is what I didn't know when this would come up during our dialogue, but you brought it up right out of the gate. And let me put this statistic out there for everyone to put it in perspective, even more so. If humans killed each other at the same rate that we kill other animals, we would be extinct in 17 days. 17 days we would be extinct.
I've never heard that one before, and I've heard a lot of stats. I like that.
Yeah, it's from Vega Lucianary on Instagram. It pulled up on my feed yesterday, and as I was reading the book, and I thought, wow, I have to use this somehow in the show. But, you know, the way we treat animals has just become so brutal, and we do everything for the bottom line and for our own personal gain or benefit. What are some ways that we can do our part to help animals, Gene?
Well, that, of course, is a great question, and there are a lot of us trying to answer that properly and struggling, because, if anything, the number of animals being killed every year is actually increasing as the population of Earth is increasing. So what we normally would simply say is, be more conscious of your food choices. Think about animals. If you can bear it, go to a slaughterhouse. See if you can eat an animal after actually having been to a slaughterhouse. Meet a vegan, talk to a vegan, find out what a vegan means. Why would somebody choose not to eat delicious foods like meat or eggs anymore? There are a lot of things people can do, and that's a great question. I think the real question is, how do you get people to be aware of the stats I've mentioned, the stats you've mentioned? How do you grow the consciousness of humans to the point where they think of these animals being killed as something as horrendous as I think you and I do?
Yeah. I don't know what makes some people more aware than others. Maybe that's where the key the lesson lies in this, is how do we get to the people that don't get to the place that you and I are? I mean, I loved animals, I think, from the moment I was born. I have such fond memories of our cat Fluffy when I was a kid, you know, and our dog Snoopy, and my parents loved animals too and respected them. And we grew up in upstate New York where it's very cold. Actually, Gene Bauer, the founder of Farm Sanctuary, and I grew up like 10 miles from one another. So,
oh, no kidding.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh,
and by the way, I love that you had a cat named Fluffy and a dog named Snoopy.
And right now I have 24 animals, Gene. Every one of them came off the street, every single one of them. And sometimes it's quite overwhelming, both financially and just, physically. But they also keep me going, and there's such a benefit and a love that I have and that I get from them. It's the most incredible thing. And I wish everyone could experience it. And I think if they read the book, The Awareness, it will somehow enlighten them as to what they're missing out on in so many ways. Right?
Well, that's a great point. I don't think people think of animals in any other way except perhaps a dog and a cat as a pet and then as food. But if you can just take that next step and think of an animal as a being like you, like your friends, like everyone you know, like your family, would you kill? And that's what you're doing when you're eating meat or eggs and whatever, you're killing. And I think if people really, really thought about that for a moment, they'd stop.
Mm-hmm.
How, again, do you get people to think about that? And
yeah.
I think that's the question that we're all asking. How do we, I mean, we call this book The Awareness because that's the point. The animals get awareness, but what we're really trying to say is if this book works, it will actually raise humans' awareness.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I know a lot of meat eaters that are really annoyed by this big plant-based movement, the vegan movement. But, you know, eating plant-based, even if it's only a couple of nights a week, is such a good way to reduce the number of animals harmed. Of course, I know you agree.
I think we probably agree on everything.
Yeah. But when did you personally take on a plant-based diet?
Well, my story was a little odd because, you know, sometimes I go on panels and I'm with people like Gene Bauer, Nathan Munkel. They have wonderful stories like yours.
Uh-huh.
I did it for the money because I got a call from my agent saying, do you want to meet a vegan firefighter in Texas? And I didn't really think that would work, but I thought, sure. And there was this guy, Rip Esselstyn, and within an hour, Rip and I became really good friends. We bonded. We wrote three books together, and so it was a career path choice. But working with Rip, who got his whole firehouse to go vegan, which is pretty amazing if you know firemen, I thought, well, gee, if I'm going to write a book about this, I should try it. And, you know, it was like my eyes opened. My brain exploded. All of a sudden, I saw things that I hadn't seen before. Animals were no longer creatures on the street that I didn't care about. And by the way, I love animals, and I grew up with Skippy, like you grew up with Snoopy, et cetera, et cetera. But I hadn't made that jump between cats and dogs and pigs and cows and donkeys and chickens and fish until somebody opened my eyes, and then I decided, first of all, being the kind of weird person I am, I had all this guilt about all the animals that I had eaten. And then I decided to expiate that book by dedicating the rest of my life to trying to change other people.
Yeah. Well, you know, you brought up Nathan Runkel. He's been on the show many, many times. And I just adore the boy, but he's not a boy, he's a man. He started when he was a boy.
I wrote his book too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I didn't
know. I take this stuff really seriously.
I'm holding his book in my hand. In fact, I was getting ready to quote out of it.
One is that?
Well, it's Mercy for Animals. It's one man's quest to inspire compassion and improve the lives of farm animals.
If you look beneath his name, you'll see my name.
Well, and Ingrid Newkirk has sat in my studio before back five, six years ago. Yes, Ingrid.
You know, I'm doing her book.
I didn't know that. You're such a prolific writer. But let me read this of what you wrote, because this is incredible. When I showed this to my daughter, who still eats a little bit of chicken, because I'm not going to be that mom that, you know, says, I won't allow it in the house anymore, but you can eat whatever you want when you're not at home. I'm not going to have it in the house. But anyway, I'm reading from the book, page 125. Just months later, in October 2015, Andy was ready for his next assignment, going undercover at two Purdue contract farms in Rockingham, North Carolina, operated by a father and son. Purdue is another massive poultry producer with 19,000 employees and revenues exceeding $6 billion. The company raises and kills nearly 700 million animals each year, just like with the birds used by Tyson. Generations of genetic manipulation had left many of Purdue's chickens unable to walk, leading them to die slowly of starvation, dehydration, heart attacks, organ failure, or any other painful ailments. But this is what's so poignant. This is what I really wanted to get to, but I was setting it up. One afternoon, Andy returned from his lunch break to find his coworker, Danny, beating the chest of a chicken with a hammer and then started pounding her with his fist. And Andy asked, why are you doing that? Heart attack, Danny responded, finally giving up. He tossed the lifeless chicken into a pile of dead birds, figured I'd try to revive it with CPR. You never know. That's quotes. And of course, you wrote it, so you know what I'm talking about. But the heart attacks weren't the only suffering these birds endured. Andy's hidden camera also caught Danny cruelly kicking and throwing chickens, hurling them against walls and into trucks, and stomping birds to death in clear violations of North Carolina law. Evidence in hand, we sprang into action. And so I know there's people that are listening right now going, oh my gosh, I'm going to turn the station because I don't want to hear this. But isn't it important that they hear this, Gene?
Well, of course it is. And yes, people may stop listening. It's extremely important. And by the way, I don't mean to freak you out, but Andy is the guy who I met doing that book. And the next book I have coming out in October is with him.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Because I can't wait to read that.
This guy is amazing. He is a leading animal abuse investigator. He goes undercover. He risks his life. He actually tortures animals with the others because he has to in order to get that film.
Oh, my gosh.
That then closes the place down. So we have a book that we wrote together called Rescue Dogs, because in this particular case, I wanted to focus on the horrible conditions that take place in puppy mills and laboratories to dogs.
Yeah.
So that book is coming out October 1st, and it's called Rescue Dogs.
Oh, wow. Wow, I can't wait. I don't know whether I should go to break. I think we're just going to continue on. I will go to break. Well, I guess we're going to break. Okay. but it's okay. We'll be right back with Gene Stone. Stay with us, Gene. More to come up, everyone. Don't tune out. You're not going to want to miss this. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata. It ain't no passing phrase. It means no worries.
Oh my gosh, everyone. You know, Diamond went to see The Lion King a couple of days ago. I haven't seen it yet. I am dying to see it. And so we're playing all the music from The Lion King because it's so appropriate. I've got Gene Stone on the line here. We're continuing on with him. Speaking of the awareness and plant-based diet, if you're just now joining us, Gene Stone is a Harvard and Stanford graduate. I have to brag about you, Gene. Because it's not in your bio, but I have to put it in there. I just have to let people know. I think it's so astounding. Gene Stone is a former Peace Corps volunteer, a journalist, and an editor. He has written and co-written or ghostwritten more than 45 books on a wide variety of subjects, although for the last decade, he has concentrated on plant-based diets and the relationship to animal protection, health, and the environment. Among these books are Forks Over Knives, The Engine 2 Diet, Living the Farm Sanctuary Life, Eat for the Planet, and How Not to Die. Today, we are talking about his book, The Awareness. We finished talking about that, though, I think, though, Gene, because I really want to focus on Forks Over Knives. How does that sound?
Well, sure, although I would like to put in one more plug for The Awareness.
Okay.
As I said, most of what I write is nonfiction. And we were talking earlier about how do you get people to open their eyes, to change. And that was the impetus for The Awareness, the idea that sometimes story is what's really important, and telling a story is often more persuasive than statistics and facts. If you can get people involved, if you can get people to read a whole book, as you did, the characters, and you begin to have them come to life in your mind, in your imagination, sometimes that just means a lot more to people and is more conducive to change than having just someone say, you know, 3 billion animals die, 6 million fish die, et cetera, et cetera. Not that those stats aren't important, but I think story sometimes is more important.
Well, and I have to say, I'm glad that we did touch back on it, because as I'm holding the book in my hand right now, The Awareness by Gene Stone, who's on the line with us, and John Doyle, I have to tell you that the beautiful part about your book as well is the beauty of human beings and the connection and the lives that we share with our animals. I couldn't help but think about my dog, Mick, when Jesse, you know, Jesse and Cooper and their relationship. And I mean, I could well up right now. I've had Mick for 16 years. He is my best friend.
So tell me, what do you think he would say to you if he could suddenly talk?
If he could suddenly talk? Okay, you're going to make me cry.
I know,
you're going to make me cry because I'm gonna tell a really honest story from last night. I had a really rough weekend, Gene, and I was bawling my eyes out last night. Mm. And my dog Mick came to me because he knew I was crying. Mm. And it was the most amazing interaction that we had. And it's so crazy because I've been reading the book, The Awareness, trying to get through it because I really want to take my time. And then I reread it and reread certain things. But Mick came to me, and what he was told me last night, Gene, to answer your question, is, I love you so much, and I'm here for you. That's what he told me.
That's sweet.
And that's what Cooper says to his person.
Yeah. And so, okay, now that I knew you'd get me crying. I knew it. I knew there's no way I would get through this interview without crying. But, you know,
that's
Forks
kind of crying, too.
But tears are the window to your heart.
So. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, there's nothing like the beauty of the relationship, a long-term relationship with a dog. And I know there's an animal or a cat or whatever it may be, a pig, whatever it may be. You know, I've had rats that I've fallen in love with. I've had every kind of pet.
That can be cool.
Oh, my gosh. They're so cool. They are so cool. I had two once. I forget. My daughters, I bought them for them for Christmas, and they gave them some fancy Italian names. I don't even remember what they are right now. And they both died of cancer. They had tumors within a couple of months. Which, of course, because they were raised in a really horrific environment. You know, I think we bought them at a pet store, which was a huge mistake. But that's the only place you can really buy a rat. Rats are meant to be wild. They're not meant to be pets. But they are the most intelligent, beautiful creatures. And I know a lot of people
are
out there.
Remarkable. Anybody I know who's ever had a rat will tell you that you just had no idea how smart and just, I'm not going to say human because that's wrong, but they have emotions and they can bond with you and do things that just can startle you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we only have a couple more minutes. And so I really, you've got to come back. I've enjoyed this conversation so much. You absolutely have to come back and help me to educate America because I'm so passionate about it like you. And,
yes, you are. But
yeah, no, I really am. I am. And I have been for many, many years. And, you know, Forks Over Knives. This is an incredible book. It was an incredible movie. Let's talk about that. Let me ask the question that everyone that's skeptical out there is thinking about the plant-based diet. They always bring up protein. What if you don't get enough protein, and how can you make sure you are getting enough? What do you say to them?
Well, that is probably the most common question, and there are several things I say, but very briefly, the first is that there's protein in almost all food. We get so much protein. If anything, Americans get too much protein. It can be very damaging to our internal organs to get the amount we have. We should actually be cutting back on protein. We can find it in anything. The other thing I would say, and by the way, the World Health Organization says that around 8 to 10% of our diet should be protein, and yet most Americans get 25 to 40%, which is basically an overdose. The other thing I would say is, can you think of the word for a protein deficiency? What would that illness be?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can answer the question because there is no such thing as protein deficiency in America.
Yeah.
It never happens. And so we had to borrow the word from another place. The word is actually kwashiorkor, which comes from the West Indies, where they have had a few problems with protein deficiency due to a bad diet. But the fact is, we don't even have an English word for protein deficiency because it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, so let me ask you this. I mean, it's funny because I actually had the Impossible Burger over the weekend. You know, you can only get it from chefs and stuff like that. But my daughter did like a trade deal with her father and got us some. And we made the plant-based burgers for dinner. I think it was Saturday night when we were sitting around the pool. And they were so good. Gene, I don't know if you've ever had one, but they're so...
Oh, sure. I certainly have.
Yeah. But they were so good, and you can't even tell the difference. And the nice thing about it, you know, as we were sitting there breaking bread together, I said, and no animal had to die or suffer, you guys, and you can feel good about that. So to get back to what we were talking about with protein, though, what plants are high in protein, Gene?
Oh, I think, I would guess that spinach is very high in protein. Certainly, beans are extremely high in protein. Legumes are high in protein. And, of course, soy is very high in protein. If you're having tofu or tempeh, you're getting a cleaner source of protein than you would if you were just having fatty meat all the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's, you know, It's so important that we do the right thing for the planet as well. That's another part of my passion, and I know it is yours as well. So what kind of message would you like everyone out there listening right now to understand about your New York Times bestseller, Forks Over Knives, The Plant-Based Way to Health?
What I would say to people, what I always say to people is just please just open your eyes and think. Make some conscious choices. Your food is an important choice in your life. And for most people, they don't think about it. They just eat what's in front of them. They go to lunch, they get a burger, they go to dinner, they have a steak. They just don't think. And mm-hmm. So I don't expect people to go vegan overnight. I'm hoping more and more people will just add more vegetables and fruits to their diet. And by the way, not just simply for the animals, it's also very good for your health. And of course, the book I wrote fairly recently called Eat for the Planet, we make the case that if you're an environmentalist and you're not a vegan, you're not really much of an environmentalist because animal agriculture, factory farming, is the biggest contributor on this planet to greenhouse gases.
I absolutely agree. And I cannot wait to have you back. We'll talk about that book. We've got a lot of talking to do. You've got 45 books. I can't wait to read all of them.
We could talk forever. We could just keep talking and talking.
Well, you know, we've actually had a Dr. McGregor on the show, or Dr. Greger, excuse me. I wanted to make him Irish or Scottish. Scottish, I guess, with you have the MC in front. But we've had him on the show, so many people on the show, and covered a lot of the books that I had no idea that you had co-authored or ghostwritten. So such an honor to have you on the show. Thank you so much for jumping on the air with us. Can't wait to talk to you again.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Me as well. You were listening to Gene Stone. I encourage you to tell your friends to listen to the podcast. You can catch it. It'll be up on our site today after 5 o'clock, oneliferadio.com. We've got more coming up with Carol Roberg. She's going to be talking about the restorative gifts in nature from the Wellbeing Journal. Stay tuned, everyone.
And they don't have a clue.
Who's they?
They'll fall in love. And here's the bottom line.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Oh my gosh, this show is so outstanding. Even the music is so perfectly matched for the content, I can't even tell you. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. You're listening to One Life Radio. I want to let you know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. You can also go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. You can get it at Vitamin Shoppe or put it in your smoothie at Smoothie King or go to their website, sunwarrior.com, and use the code OLR for 20% off your first order. They are plant-based protein and nutrition. They've been a sponsor for 5 years. It is an outstanding company, and the owners are just as outstanding. It's just a great company. Check them out at sunwarrior.com. And of course, Crazy Water, call us crazy. We don't mind. We love Crazy Water and all the benefits of drinking it. And Paleo Magazine, great recipes, products, and articles on all-around wellness, and also the Wellbeing Journal, heralding the integration of medicine with physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. And of course, Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. They go by the Clean 15 and the Dirty Dozen, which is very rare in any kind of restaurant, let alone to-go food. So check them out at naturesplate.com. And of course, Thorne Research, you can find our dispensary at oneliferadio.com/Thorne. Shop our dispensary for 20% off and free shipping off of all your orders. It says here your first order, but it's all orders. Mm-hmm. Go to oneliferadio.com/Thorne. Their supplements are some of the best out there in the world. Oh, and yeah. I say that with confidence. So check them out. Today, we are continuing on with this great show. I've got Carol Roberg on the line. She is an accredited nature therapy guide through the Association of Nature and Forest Therapy. Her passion for health and well-being is expressed through her forest bathing walks and her role as an integrative health coach. She provides cutting-edge alternative support and strives for balance between body, emotions, and spirit. She is also a plant-based nutrition educator. Her website is Carol Roberg. That's R-O-B-E-R-G-E. Carol Roberg with it ends in an E.com. So nice to have you with us today. How are you doing, Carol?
Oh, well, thank you for such a lovely introduction. And I love the products that you're endorsing.
Thank you.
Great. Yes, and the music is fabulous. It put a smile on my face. Thank you for that.
No, you're welcome. And I'm smiling right back at you. You can't see me, but I am. The show has been outstanding today. I think the things that we're talking about are so important for healing our world. It has so many problems out there right now. And that includes the restorative gifts in nature, an article that you wrote for the Wellbeing Journal, which is what we're talking about today, the importance of nature and healing ourselves through nature. So, you know, the article that you wrote is so awesome. It really is. So why is nature? It really is. It's beautifully written and very informative. And so I have to ask, so all of our listeners truly understand, I want them to understand before the end of this broadcast, why is nature connection so important?
Well, understand that I just came from the first ever International Forest Bathing Conference in Sonoma, California,
where
there were presenters from all over the world, Finland, Japan, Korea, all over the U.S., to come and talk about that very topic and to discuss why it's important and how we can spread this message. So when I think about nature connection, I think about today, across the globe, we are experiencing a health, cultural, and ecological crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And seriously, we're unconscious. We need to wake up. We need to wake up for the well-being of humanity and for our planet. You know, like I shared in the article, our bodies are wired to be in nature. Our DNA recognizes nature as home. The biologist E.O. Wilson, he wrote the book Biophilia, which is really making headlines today. He believes we are hardwired. It's an innate infinity for nature. But today, we don't live anything like that. Today, we live in urban areas. 54% of the population now lives in urban areas, and they predict by 2050 it'll be up to like 70-80%. So rapid urbanization. We're becoming more like an indoor species. I like to think that we've created an artificial controlled utopia with instant gratification of needs.
Mm-hmm.
Just visualize. From the touch of a screen and the comfort of your couch, you can have your meals delivered. You can have everything sent to you. You can get the latest information. You don't ever have to go outside. We have a sedentary lifestyle. But is that all good for us? I don't think so. You know, as a health coach, I'm in touch with all that's going on in the wellness world, and there's a huge rise right now in depression.
Oh, yeah.
Suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Suicide with our young generations. They're linking social media to depression and anxiety. Stress. When I work with patients that come in and mainly they want to focus on, oh, I want to lose weight, I want to be fit, but when we start going through the questionnaire, the bottom line is stress. People don't realize that they're experiencing stress. Nobody really understands that it may be stress that's going on the inside of their body. They're just thinking about the stress that they actively mm-hmm. notice on the outside. Rising in obesity, feelings of loneliness and disconnect. And in response to those symptoms of discomfort that we don't like,
mm-hmm.
which we do, we numb ourselves. And I want you to remember the word numb, because I'm going to talk about it later. We numb ourselves. We numb ourselves in a myriad of ways. And that numbing, what does that do? Does that solve anything? It doesn't. It just perpetuates our feelings of disconnect. So we overeat. We drink. We become workaholics. We engage in retail therapy. And I had to ask myself, when did this become a therapy?
Oh, I know.
It's huge.
Have you been following me around, Carol?
But it only works for a short amount of time.
I know. I'm guilty of all of it.
Acquiring a bunch of stuff and we're still unhappy.
Yep.
We're still unhappy. So I want to just say a quote out of a book entitled The Healing Nature Trail by Tamarack Song. And I may not pronounce the gentleman's name that made the quote correctly, but I'll do my best.
Well, you'll be in good company.
His name is Jito Krishnamurti. He says, "It is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society."
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, we're like sheep. We're
yeah.
we're part of a herd, but we're not going down a good tunnel.
Well, you know, I don't know if there's a word to describe whatever this is that I feel the moment I walk outside, no matter if it's just to let my dogs out or take the hose and put fresh water while I'm outside, I feel different than I do when mm-hmm. I'm inside. Mm-hmm. And so you talked about forest bathing. What does this term entail? And we've only got about 2 minutes. I just want to be aware of the clock because I don't want you to get cut off. What is forest bathing?
Okay, so forest bathing, the word shindyoku is a Japanese word. It was coined in 1982 to embody a practice of spending time in nature. So forest bathing for me as an ANFT guide is a guided immersive experience in nature. It's a practice. I look at it as a practice, a way of connecting with nature that invites healing. Healing not only for the participants that are out there walking, but also healing amongst the humans in the environment. It's about cultivating a presence, slowing down, being here versus getting there, and opening up all of our senses. It's a sensory experience versus intellectual. It's about allowing yourself to open to curiosity and wonder, you know, developing relationship with the land and its being. And it's about moving away from our cerebral thinking, noticing what our bodies are experiencing in that moment and in mm-hmm. that place. So many people come on the walk and they have no idea what it means to be in their bodies. So it's cultivating an awareness of our body and our heart intelligence.
I love
it. Such a beautiful feeling. Like you said, you don't cerebrally understand why you like it out
yeah.
there, but your body does.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hate that I have to cut you off. I hope you'll come back. So much we need to talk about. Carol Roberg.
So much.
Yes, yes. And so you can reach you at your website, carolroberg.com, and that's Roberge. Thank you so much. And I really
yes.
appreciate it. Can't wait to talk to you again.
All right. Thank you for having me.
It's
bye-bye.
It's our pleasure. Everyone, I hope you enjoyed the show as much as we did. And tell your friends to maybe listen to it on the podcast at our website, oneliferadio.com. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.